been reported, I can't say it with 100% confidence, but I've seen several people kind of cite this quote from Gandhi that says, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." We started a series last week called Returning to Cross-Shaped Christianity, and I talked about this idea of cruciformity, which really, it's about aligning our lives, our values, our attitudes, our actions as individuals, as well as a community of faith, with the values, attitudes, and actions of Christ. Because I think if we're honest, I fall into this category as well. There are portions of my life that look very much unlike Christ. There are times during the day that I recognize some attitudes that I have, or maybe some actions that I take that are just contradictory to Christ. And we should all be in this process of becoming more and more and more like Christ, more cruciform. And unfortunately, I think what we see happening in what I would call the modern American church is there's this gap, this growing gap between some of the values and attitudes in the church and the values and attitudes of Christ. And so today I'm going to talk, I don't like to do this very often, but for whatever reason, I felt like this was the direction that the Holy Spirit was leading, and especially after Seth said what he said at the end, I think, hey, this is the topic that we need to talk about, but it's a hot-button issue in our culture, and it's probably going to make some of you uncomfortable, and it's probably going to make some of you think differently of maybe how I feel about things that are happening in our country. But regardless, we're talking about some of the attitudes and actions revolving around immigration and immigrants, how we treat immigrants. And here's the reason why I felt like this was where we needed to go this week. You know, most of you know we've spent the last 2 weeks in fair mode. This past week we were at the state fair. And I want to just tell you that if you want to go to one of the cleanest restrooms on the entire state fairgrounds, you go to the Sheep Barn. It used to be called the Blue Ribbon Pavilion. I don't even know what they changed the name to it now, but it's the Sheep Barn. And you go to the bathrooms in the corner of the Sheep Barn, and those things are clean 24/7. Because there is a group of, I would say, Latin-influenced people who work there. And this year, I noticed there was one individual that stayed in the men's restroom all day long and cleaned. And I made sure, like, I've noticed this the last couple of years, and this year I wanted to make it a point, like, every time I see these people, I want to tell them thank you, because it is just so nice to be able to walk in there and feel clean. And so I would say thank you, thank you. And then I started thinking about maybe what is going through their minds given the current climate in our country. I have heard stories, I've listened to podcasts of immigrants in churches being deported. Now, these stories are about immigrants that are going through the legal process of immigration. I listened to a pastor speak about this in his church, in this country. The church is predominantly immigrants, but they are legal. They are going through the legal process. They are being called into immigration offices and being told, there's some updates with your case. We need you to come into the office. And when they get to the office, they are arrested and detained. And so this is how we are living in this country now. And there is a sect of Christianity that is cheering this on. There is a brand of Christianity in the United States that thinks this is okay. if you go back to the Old Testament in Exodus, just after God delivers his people from Egypt, he gives them a standard to live by. We call it the Mosaic Law. One of those standards is found in chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23, verse 9, when it says, "Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners because you were foreigners in Egypt." And so God lays this basis. He says, listen, you know how it feels to be a strange person, a foreigner in a land that's not yours. You know what it feels like to be oppressed. So don't do that to other people when they come to your land. Unfortunately, we know that one of the reasons God's people receive judgment and are allowed to be carried into exile is because they do not uphold this command. They start to treat foreigners and strangers the way they were treated. And so this becomes a problem. Now, when you get to the New Testament, you'll find these verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now listen to how the author of Hebrews encourages these people. "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." So here's the big point I want you to walk away with this morning. And this is going to be hard. It's difficult because we are living in a culture that's really trying to condition us to think differently. But returning to cross-shaped Christianity requires us, and when I say us, I mean the community of faith, the church. It requires us to show hospitality to strangers and to foreigners. Now, the interesting thing about this writing in Hebrews is that the book of Hebrews is written to a group of people who really are scattered. They're experiencing persecution. And so the idea isn't as much like, hey, you have a piece of land, and so when a stranger comes into your land, welcome them, show them hospitality. But it's more about, it's not geographic as much as it is wherever you're at in community. Because these people were scattered all over. And so he's like, whenever somebody comes into your midst that's different, that's a stranger, that's a foreigner, be hospitable to them. And this isn't just like a New Testament thing where this is like this. This idea of showing hospitality to strangers and foreigners, it really reveals the heart of God. I mean, this has been God's heart from beginning to end because it's scattered throughout the entire Bible. It's not just an Old Testament theme or a New Testament theme. It is an entire Bible theme. And if you want a good idea of what it looks like, the book of Ruth is a perfect example of what it looks like to show hospitality to foreigners and strangers. So if you're not familiar with the book of Ruth, I'll give you a real quick rundown. So in the book of Ruth, Ruth is really obviously one of the main players, main character. And what we know about Ruth is that Ruth, if you read through it, the author's careful to tell us that she was a Moabite, which means she was a foreigner. She was not Jewish. Ruth was a Moabite. She marries a Jewish guy who dies. And Naomi is her mother-in-law. Naomi has two sons. They both marry these women. Both sons die. And she gives them the option. She's like, you can go back home. And it's Ruth who says, no, wait, I'm going to stay with you. Right? And so in this book, we get this picture of like this Moabite who's actually living closer to Jewish cultural norms and expectations than Jewish people are. And then you get her husband dies, she stays with Naomi, and they return back to the promised land. And it's there where we're introduced to Boaz. And what we see in this man, Boaz, is he knows who Naomi is. And he knows who Ruth is. And he also knows that Ruth is a Moabite. She's different. She's a foreigner. But Boaz shows her hospitality. He treats her with kindness, with compassion. And regardless of the fact that she's not really Jewish, he decides that he's going to be what's called the kinsman redeemer. He's one of the closest relatives, so according to Jewish law, he is supposed to marry Ruth because her husband's died. And he does that for a stranger, for a foreigner, for somebody that's not even Jewish. And now the fascinating thing about this is that this Moabite woman who is shown hospitality by Boaz, the Jewish man, is found in the lineage of Jesus. Because David is a descendant of Boaz and Ruth. Now here's what I want you to understand. I am not talking this morning about immigration policy. I'm not talking about the policy of the United States of America in regards to immigration or the status of immigrants. But what I'm talking about is a position of our hearts towards people who are different. I love the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read it. It's just about 12 verses. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. I think we have to catch what's really going on here to see how this relates to our expectations of how we treat people. Most of you are familiar with this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice it's really kind of a self-centered question. But Jesus says, "What's written in the law?" And he replied, "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked this question: "Who is my neighbor?" I would underline that question. Who is my neighbor? All right, so he's like, okay, if I'm supposed to love my neighbor, I have to know who my neighbor is. Which implies that if they're not my neighbor, then I don't have to love them. So Jesus replies with this. "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan," now this is key, because this is one of those ethnic tension things that we're not aware of. Samaritans and Jews don't get along. They don't like each other. "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Now, notice the question that Jesus asks. The man's question was, who is my neighbor? Because I need to know who my neighbor is so I can love that person and I don't have to love anybody else. But notice this question that Jesus asked. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? See the switch? The man was concerned with, okay, who is my neighbor? Because I need to know who I have to love. And Jesus says, wait a minute. The better question is not, it's not who is my neighbor. The better question is, how can I be a neighbor? It's not about figuring out who it is that we have to love. It's about figuring out, how do I just go love the people that need to be loved? How do I show compassion and mercy and hospitality to the people that need those things? And so for Jesus, this really isn't about policy. And the reason I say that is because the priest and the Levite are following policy. Their policy, their law says, you can't touch a dead person. That guy may be dead. And if I touch him, I'm going to be unclean. And so Jesus goes deeper. He's like, it's not about the policy. It's about the heart. These people, they're trying to keep the policy, but their heart's all messed up, right? That person needed something. And it's not the good Jewish priest. It's not the good Jewish Levite who was a neighbor, it's the person you least expect. It's that dirty, rotten, nasty Samaritan, the people that you can't even stand to walk through their country. So you take the long way around. It's that person who showed hospitality and kindness. His heart was in the right spot. And so I think, you know, the position of the church is we don't have to write policy. We don't have to lobby for policy. We just have to make sure that the position of our heart is in the right spot. I have seen so much division in the church over what the immigration policy of the United States of America should be. And you know what? I think there should be some kind of policy. I think there should be some kind of process that people have to work through. That's okay. But the church's job is not to create the policy. The church's job is not to uphold the policy. The church's job is to have a position of heart where we see people in need, we see strangers, we see foreigners, we see exiles, and we welcome them into our community and show them hospitality. Because we ourselves are strangers. We are foreigners. This is not our home. And just like in Exodus, we know what it feels like to be strange and foreign. And so this exists on a couple different levels. Right? If you look around the room this morning, there's not very many people that are different from us. We're all pretty much the same. Except there are those times when somebody outside of the flock walks through the door. They're just a little bit different. Yeah, they're probably white, probably about the same age as us, but they might not be a part of the community. How do we treat those people? What do we do? You know, it's not just about the Latin immigrants or the Canadian immigrants or whatever. It's not always about that, but sometimes it's just about the small things, like people who just aren't part of the community. When they walk through the doors, how do they feel? Do they feel welcome? Or do they feel like, man, I just don't know if I fit in here. I don't know that many people. And sometimes we just get so caught up in what we think the expectations are like, if I just show up, if I just get to my seat, if I just stand when they tell me to stand, if I sing when they tell me to sing, if I pray when they tell me to pray, if I listen to what the pastor says, then I'm doing okay. And all the while, people are passing in and out of the door that we don't know their story. We don't know the hurts that they have. We don't know that the problems that they're facing, because we're so caught up in the policy. And I think Jesus just wants us to have a position of heart that cares about people. And so that's my prayer for myself, is that I would have a heart that looks past whatever kind of divisions this culture tries to create. That I would have a heart that looks past whatever kind of divisions that even we try to create, willingly or unwillingly, in the community of faith. We'll pray, we'll sing a reflection song, and I'll entertain your questions. Father, my prayer is this, that you would create in us a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within us, forgive us where we've fallen short, continue to create us in the image of your Son. Help us to be hospitable to foreigners and strangers, and recognize that we ourselves are foreigners and strangers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.